From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. 20 candidates for president took the stage for the first Democratic debate of the 2020 elections. Of course, it took two nights, and there are four more Democratic candidates that didn't even make the cut, plus the two Republicans. If it all seems a bit much, you're not alone, and it turns out you have math to back you up. Alexander Strang is a PhD candidate in math at Case Western Reserve University. He and his mentor, Peter Thomas, have written about an obscure mathematical principle called Condorcet's paradox, which suggests that a large number of candidates could make it difficult for voters to come to a consensus about which one is the best. Alex, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you.
Condorcet's paradox, this idea that if there are too many options, it may be hard for everybody to settle on one best option, seems kind of logical. But walk us through the math of how this actually works.
So the basic problem is that when there are many candidates, there are many more ways for people to disagree than for people to agree. And you can even see that if you just look at people's first choice. So suppose we have 24 candidates and we sample two random Democratic voters who are planning on voting in the primary. And we ask the two voters, who is your favorite candidate? Who would you pick first? Since there are 24 candidates, there's 24 ways for them to agree. Maybe they both say Joe Biden, maybe they both say Kamala Harris. However, because there are 24 candidates, there are many more ways for them to disagree than there were for the ways for them to agree. So in fact, with 24 candidates, there are 23 times more ways for them to have a different answer than to have the same answer. And this problem gets more protracted the more candidates you include. And it also gets more difficult when you ask more complicated questions. So if we're using a voting system that's called a ranked voting system, that's a system where you vote by listing all your candidates in order of preference. And with 24 candidates, there are 620 billion trillion different possible rankings. So the chance that if people were just picking random rankings that they'd agree is very, very slim.
620 billion trillion. I mean, that's a really huge number. But realistically, people aren't just randomly putting candidates into order or randomly picking the one candidate that they vote for.
And even going back to just if you asked 24 actual Democratic voters who their favorite choice was, because about 35% have so far polled for Joe Biden and about 18 for Bernie Sanders and so on, the actual chance that they agree instead of being 4%, which would be the chance when they're totally drawn at random, is about an 18% chance.
Still not great odds, though.
Right. Still not great odds. So what the Condorcet's paradox is it's a particular case where there's essentially not enough agreement in the electorate to pick a clear winner in an election. And so the simplest case is when you have three voters and three candidates. And this example is intentionally simple because it's meant to point out how these systems can fail even in what seem like very easy cases. So suppose you have three candidates. One represents the Rock Party. They're down to earth. One represents the Scissors Party and one represents paper. Now, maybe voter one prefers the Rock Party because he likes their simple common sense solutions. Voter two likes the Scissor Party because they're sort of cutting edge. And voter three prefers paper. If we just ran a regular election and we asked them all, who is your first choice? Clearly, there'd be no winner. It would be a three-way tie. So we say, okay, let's ask for more information, right? If we can't decide based on your first choice, who's your second choice and who's your third? Suppose that voter one prefers the first candidate to the second and the second candidate to the third. Suppose voter two prefers the second candidate to the third and the third candidate to the first. And finally, suppose that the third voter prefers candidate three to candidate one and candidate one to candidate two. Now we have essentially all of the information in the system. We know all of the voters' preferences. We might hope that this would resolve our problem. The problem is that if you set up the voter preferences in this way, they're totally symmetric. And so two would beat one, three would beat two, and one would beat three. And so it really becomes a rock, paper, scissors system, and there is no way, fair way to pick a winner.
Alexander Strang, I wonder how not only the number of candidates factors in, but also the number of voters, because it's a different situation if you have three candidates and three voters, and there's really no way to break that tie. But if you have 3,000 voters or 3 million voters, that would seem to make a difference.
Yes. And it really matters how the electorate is structured. So in the example given in our article, we use a case that's simple to treat mathematically. And that's the case where each voter votes independently. So my opinions don't depend on my family's opinions, which of course is an unrealistic assumption.
Unfortunately, yes.
The other assumption is that the voters' preferences are uniformly distributed, which means that they are equally likely to put Joe Biden at the top of the ballot as the bottom of the ballot. If you do that, then increasing the number of voters actually increases the chance that this paradox arises.
But if they're not doing it randomly...
Right. If they're not uniformly distributed, if instead you're using a statistical model that more closely matches an actual electorate, then increasing the number of voters decreases the chance of the paradox. And you actually see that if you look at real elections, that elections with a large electorate are rarely show the paradox, whereas elections among a small electorate with many candidates may show the paradox.
So that was going to be my next question, Alexander Strang, which is how much evidence is there that Condorcet's paradox, while it seems very logical in a theoretical sense, how much evidence is there that it actually happens in real life and perhaps is a factor in how elections are playing out?
It depends on the type of election that you look at. So in general, it's rare, but it is also a particularly strong paradox. And so usually when it occurs is situations among a legislature. So actually a sort of famous example is the vote on what was called the Wilmot Proviso. Right at the end of the Mexican-American War, Congress was deciding how much land to annex from Mexico. And there were essentially three proposals. The first was to take as much land as possible and to let it be either a free state or a slave state up to the choice of the people who lived there. The second proposal was to take the land, but to ensure that no slavery would be allowed, so ensure that they would be free states. And the third proposal was to do neither. And what happened at the time, there were about eight parties in the Congress, and the way people voted actually showed the paradox. So the option to take land and allow slavery beat the option to take land and to not allow slavery, 120 votes to 41. While the option to take land and forbid slavery beat the option to keep the status quo, 103 to 58. However, the option to keep the status quo beat the option to take land and to allow slavery, 90 to 71, which is exactly the Condorcet paradox.
This situation that we're seeing this year with 24 Democratic candidates for president, I mean, 2016, we had more than a dozen Republican candidates for president. These seem like relatively new situations, but you're citing an historical situation going back more than 100 years. And I wonder, where did this paradox, Condorcet's paradox, come from originally? Clearly, it wasn't coined for the 2020 elections.
No. So Condorcet was a marquis in France at the end of the 18th century. He was a mathematician, but he was also an Enlightenment thinker. He advocated for various reforms that today we would see as fairly egalitarian. So advocates for democracy, advocates for a free economy, for rights for women, for abolitionism. And part of the whole movement, the Enlightenment movement, was founded on rational thinking about systems of government and what systems of government are the most fair, are the most representative, and so on. And Condorcet was part of this. He studied election systems because he was interested in what makes a fair government and how do you discern the will of the people, if you will, from a collection of individual preferences. Another French mathematician at the time, Borda, was interested in a similar problem and proposed what's called the Borda count election system, which is a simple version of a ranked election system. Each voter casts a vote for their top three candidates, and 3 points are awarded to the first candidate, 2 for the second, and 1 for the third. And then the points are summed, and the candidate with the most points wins. Condorcet disagreed with Borda that this was sort of an optimal system and disagreed fairly publicly. They had a protracted argument in the press and eventually sort of fell out with each other.
It's interesting that the entire history of this goes back to something that's now a very present day conversation and debate again about how do we run our elections, what's the best way, and in fact, ranked voting systems are coming back into the conversation and into the debate. Does understanding the math of Condorcet's paradox point toward any particular workarounds or solutions for dealing with these elections with such a large number of candidates?
Yes. So Condorcet's paradox is often used as a starting point. It's introduced because it's a little bit shocking and because it's fairly simple, right? The example with three candidates and three voters is easy to explain. The reason that Condorcet was disturbed by this is he was looking for a ranked voting system that would try to find a consensus winner when there are many different candidates and there's a big diversity of opinion. So what he proposed was that every voter should provide all of their preferences. So if there are 24 candidates, you would need to write down all 24 candidates in order, which is a difficult task. But from the mathematician's perspective, it gives you a lot of information to work with. What you can do if you have everybody's preferences, all 24 candidates ranked from all the voters, is you can essentially simulate what would happen if any two of them ran against each other alone. Condorcet said that the fairest way to pick a winner is to find a candidate who would win an election against any other candidate in the pool. If that person exists, they're called a Condorcet winner, and it's sort of generally agreed within social choice theory that that's a fairly fair way to pick a winner. The problem is, if the Condorcet's paradox arises, then there is no Condorcet winner. The Condorcet winner doesn't exist. And so in a sense, there is no consensus opinion, and it makes it very difficult to come up with a fair way to pick a winner.
And of course, all of that is predicated on the idea that we have that complete information from all voters, that we have the complete rankings, which at the moment is not how our electoral system works.
And we have fairly limited information. We only know who the first choice of most voters is. And most polls are only asking about the first choice. Some ask about second choices. The board account, which is, again, you give 3 points to your first choice, 2 to your second, 1 to your third, is attractive because it kind of mixes the two approaches. You're giving more information than just about your first choice, your first preference, but you don't need to come up with a list of all 24 candidates. So I think that somewhat ironically, the instant runoff voting system, which was just adopted in Maine for their primaries, is a reasonable, practical system that might help when you have a large group of candidates.
Alexander Strang is a PhD candidate in mathematics at Case Western Reserve University. He and his mentor, Peter Thomas, have written about Condorcet's paradox and its implications for the current Democratic primaries for theconversation.com. Alex, thanks so much.
Thank you.